And now, for your listening pleasure, the Blazing Defender Report with your host, Travis Jones.
And little baby Yoda is dead. Spoiler alert. No, just kidding. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Blazing Defender Report presents the Mondo Monologues. I have the scum and villainy crew with me. As I speak, I have TV's Casey, and from Botched, I have Dennis Robinson. What's going on, fellas?
Hey, ooh.
Hey, man.
What's up, man? Dude, chapter 3, what the fuck?
It's something, all right, this program. They really know how to get people all jazzed up about old Star Wars.
I'd say.
Dude. Like,
man, if Return of the Jedi got your dick hard, well, just you wait.
Man, it's funny because I was I had commented on a Facebook post on like one of the movie sites or something. It was saying, hard to believe. That's what made me respond to it. It said, hard to believe, but The Mandalorian is becoming one of the most popular Star Wars stories of all time. You know, saying something else. And I was like, it's really not that hard to believe that they're doing exactly what fans have wanted. They're giving us original stories with unseen characters in the universe that we all know and love. And it got like 250 likes and people were commenting. And I mean, I was like, holy shit, like hit a nerve, obviously, because it's not that hard. And this is what we've been trying to say. But yeah, chapter 4 really kicked it in gear. I was a little bit concerned about the pacing of the first two episodes. I loved it, don't get me wrong. But man, they were really, really saving it for chapter 3. Well, how'd you guys feel about it?
Loved it. I loved chapter 3. It was so good. It's still building the world while also progressing the plot, you know, exactly. Like it should. Because we got a look into the whole, more into the underground Mandalorian thing, because you get to actually interact with other Mandalorians, and then a little bit more into the bounty hunter, like, enclave, and then a little bit as to what the Empire's doing. Not a whole lot, very, very little, but a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And the action was really good, I thought. All around, I just thought it was a damn good episode.
The conclusion of this episode was everything you've wanted to see since hearing the name of the show, mm-hmm. and then some.
Correct. Yeah, obviously. And, you know, the big part, and I think we all knew this, I mean, we assumed it anyway, we got to see who Mando is. We got to find out what kind of dude he is. We know he's a badass.
Yeah.
But now we understand a little bit more of the Mandalorian code. We understand a little bit more about Mando's code. Which I thought was really, really key in moving forward, you know, because you really, you know, he's taking the ball away from the baby. You knew he was starting to care for it, but we're going to get into all that. So from the last episode we had talked about, or, you know, I think I had theorized that there may be another party involved in trying to apprehend the asset, or the package. And we find out it was Greef that was actually sending out all the other pucks.
Yeah.
Because this bounty was so important. So, you know, when Mando, after he gives the baby back and he goes to collect his reward, he ends up finding out that, you know, it was Greef, which, I mean, really not shocking, right?
No. Everybody and their mother had a little ping. As we find out.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
Who wouldn't turn it down, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, most of them didn't do anything about it, but they all had one.
Yeah. They're all superstitious and cowardly.
Sure.
They're going to want an under-the-table deal.
Right.
Sure, they live by the Bounty Hunters Guild code, but it's like, I'll take a little side hustle, you know?
Yeah. Well,
plus, I mean, the ones that were in the bar were probably like, all right, I'm not. I know who the Mando is. I'm not trying to take him one-on-one to try and get something, you know.
No. Mm. But maybe if we all ganged up together.
Yeah, maybe if the entire building was trying to, you know, get him and we all sort of cornered him and surrounded him, maybe then we'd have a chance.
Well, you know, they teamed up in the first episode. You know, him and IG-11, they teamed up. You know what I mean? I'm like, hey, man, four of us, we'll split it four ways. You know what I mean? I'm curious on what the reward was and credits as opposed to the bounty that Mando got, which was all that Beskar steel.
I think it's still the Beskar.
Oh, you think it's the Beskar steel?
I mean, it's just valuable in general.
Sure.
You know, like,
yeah, it must be because it's so rare.
In this episode where Karga's like, hey, I'm rich too. And he, you know, he pulls the two little cards of,
yeah, because he has two of them.
Yeah, in his pocket.
So he's so like, the thing that the Beskar was in, I mean, I know you all had to be, I'm from the South. So growing up, every household had one of these. That the case that the Beskar was in, goddamn old fashioned ice cream maker. Have you seen what? That?
It doesn't quite look the same. But
oh okay. My God, it's identical, dude.
Well, not to the ice cream maker that we had when I was growing up.
Dude, it looks, I mean, when I seen it, I went, what the
fuck? Older.
Is he paying Mondo on ice cream? What is going on?
It's a desert planet. It's probably pretty valuable.
It would make sense, right? It would try. Ryan Johnson is probably a big plot point for Ryan Johnson if he did this.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was like, oh my God, that looks like an old time ice cream maker. And I'm not the only one that thought that as doing some research for the show. A lot of people were saying that, and I was like, oh my God, thank goodness I wasn't the only one.
Is it like that guy who escapes Cloud City in Empire Strikes Back, and he's got the big ice cream maker under his arm?
Yes.
You remember him?
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so I didn't write it down, but it has a name. That thing is called something. It is like, it's in Star Wars canon. It's a Kamino or Kamano or something like that is what it's called. And I was like, get the fuck out of here. So, yeah, again, kind of a throwback, I guess, Casey, like an Easter egg. We really didn't even know that was an Easter egg.
That's like a tiny – like that dude has like a one-second cameo in ESB and everybody's like I didn't know about this until I looked it up either, but he's like an old crowd favorite of fans of that movie.
Oh, of course he is.
Mm-hmm. Like what? Mm-hmm. It's like I remember people getting excited about Lobot, but like at least he had like a moment.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Lobot was kind of cool.
Fucking Lobot. Nobody's favorite action figure.
No.
Yeah, that was one you always gave the cousin you didn't like to play with.
It's like, you can be a Lobot. It's like, oh,
cool. Lobot, man. He's cool. Like, he's got a thing on his head and shit.
He's
cool.
An assistant administrator for a gas cloud mining.
Well, in the mobile game, he was awful too.
Yeah, he was.
With Ugnaughts and whatnot. It was just terrible.
Oh, great.
So no one respects him, it seems. So, but Ice Cream Maker.
Yeah, oh, man. So it was ice cream maker. Yeah,
So he dumps out a little ice cream maker full of Beskar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and of course the Mandalorian does what any one of us do when we get a sweet paycheck. We get a whole new fucking wardrobe.
Fucking spend it.
Just use it. Spend every last drop.
Right.
Some sweet polished new armor. Walks back into the Bounty Hunter Guild looking like straight pimp.
Yeah, he did. But
they weren't super happy about it.
Yeah, they weren't too happy with old Mando. So let's talk about that for a minute. Before all that, before he kind of gets, you know, got some shade thrown at him, he was talking about his signet came back up again. Mm-hmm. And I want to talk about this for a second because I thought it was interesting, his choice of words. You know, she asked, and, you know, he talks about the mud horn. She was like, oh, well, then he'll be your signet. And he was like, no, it wasn't a clean kill. I had help from an enemy. Now, I took that to mean several different things. I want to see what you guys think. Okay. Did he mean enemy as in he looks at all of his bounties as an enemy?
Yeah,
or is
so you'd have to look at it.
The Mandalorians have such a scarred past with the Jedi, and he knows that this baby is force sensitive. He may even be aware of Yoda at some point. We don't know.
I feel like Yoda is a pretty famous person, but then
I would think.
Also thought that the Jedi were a myth. So.
Yeah,
exactly.
I don't know if he really knows exactly what Baby Yoda is, because when the guy asked me, you know, what happened, he's like, you know, I'm not quite sure myself. So it sounds like one of those people that have never seen a Jedi or a Force user before.
Yeah.
Maybe he's heard stories about it, but like...
Okay, so do you think that's why he called him the enemy then?
No, I think he refers to all of his bounties.
I'm going to disagree on that, because just thinking about it, the Mandalorian's history with the Jedi's ran him out of Mandalore. So...
Yes.
But they know of Jedi, so if they're not myths to the Mandalorians. They're aware.
But it depends on... So this little sect, though, we don't know what their particular, you know, how much information gets passed down from that group.
We do know one of them in the credits. I don't know if you stuck around to read it. The big ass Mando that confronts him.
So the heavy trooper.
The heavy guy. His last name is Vizsla.
Yep.
Yeah. So he's from that big old family that used to rule Mandalore
exactly. Back
in the Clone Wars era.
That's played by John Favreau, right?
Yeah, I think he is.
Yeah.
Yeah, he is.
But yeah, so like, you know, just think of how far they've fallen if like there's just one guy from a truly famous family who's just lumping around as like a grunt with the rest of them.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
Which, and it seems like wherever they're at, they can only come out one at a time.
Well, if I have to guess based on games and other things that I've seen, Mandalorians are sort of known to be a bit feisty and maybe uppity is not the word, but they literally, if you get too many of them in a group together, they can pose a serious threat. So my guess would be that most people do not want too many Mandalorians getting together. So it's sort of like you just keep them in small batches so that way they can't
get into the reason
trouble.
That Palpatine sent Maul to basically disrupt their government. That's what caused the Jedi to run all the Mandalorians out of Mandalore, mm-hmm. was because Palpatine was either going to bring them over or he was going to destroy them all.
Wasn't Maul working as an independent agent before then?
No. In Solo, remember the end of Solo? The kind of, yeah. Instead, well, I know you watched the cartoons too, though, right, Casey? So
yeah,
that's when he made him the leader of the Black Sun, right? Palpatine knew that he couldn't, that Maul couldn't be his second in command anymore because of his injuries. Okay. Because in the Clone Wars cartoon, he gets his revenge, or he gets his match against Obi-Wan, the battle, the rematch, and Obi-Wan beats the shit like it's not even close.
Yeah.
So he's still formidable, but as a Sith Lord, not anymore. But Palpatine said, I still have plans for you. So that's when he put him in charge of the underworld, running the underworld. You see what I'm saying?
I feel like you're not right, but I don't remember Clone Wars.
It's in the cartoon.
So just going over Maul's timeline, dude gets cut in half. He lives in like the sewers of, you know, Naboo or whatever for years. And then he gets found by Savage Opress, right?
Right.
He goes back to Dathomir, he gets new legs, he gets his lightsaber back, blah, 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 fights Kenobi a couple of times, right? Then he falls in with Death Watch.
Right.
And whatever.
Which were Mandalorians.
Right, which are Mandalorians. And then he goes to Mandalore, and doesn't he fight Pre Vizsla for rule of the planet?
Because wasn't there a thing with the black saber or something?
Yeah,
the dark saber.
Yeah, it does. I don't think that Palpatine got involved until like he's already on top, and then Palpatine shows up and he's like, "Come at me!" and he kills Savage Opress and he takes Maul prisoner.
Right.
Yeah,
everything you said was correct.
Right, so I don't think that Palpatine had a hand in Maul taking over Mandalore. I think Maul just did it because he's a fucking badass, and then Palpatine's like, "Oh great! Like you've destroyed, you know, you've completely fractured this unit of people that would cause me problems in my conquest of the galaxy. Like, good for you, but you know, you're too much of a wild card, you son of a bitch."
Yeah, you're probably, you know, I was reading something about that earlier today, and I was wondering about that. You're right, but you're exactly right. I did get my timelines bounced around.
Yeah,
I was thinking Palpatine had a hand in it, but he didn't.
Palps' whole angle is like, once he's got you and he's used you and you're no longer used to him, like, I don't think he cares. He doesn't really give anybody second chances.
Mm-mm. Well, he gave Maul one.
I mean, he put him in jail and then he escaped from jail. Yeah. So I don't know. I don't know. I mean, maybe he spared him. So I guess that might be a second chance, but.
Well, I mean, he did put him in charge. He injected him into the underworld, and that's how Maul became leader of the Black Sun.
I really feel like Maul did it all on his own, man. Well, look, you know what?
So what happened? So then what happened after he finds out? You said it just a minute ago.
Okay.
What happens when they meet after, when Palpatine finds out that Maul's alive, what happens?
Okay, so at this point, Maul has already taken over Mandalore, right? Mm. Darksaber in hand, whatever. Palps goes to Mandalore to confront him. He kills Savage Opress, and he takes Maul prisoner, right?
Yeah.
And then at some point between, like, we don't, this is like a big gap in time, but like when Son of Dathomir, the comic book, comes around, Maul escapes, I'm pretty sure with Pre Vizsla, or somebody else from Death Watch helps get him out. And then, you know, Maul comes into conflict with Dooku. He comes into conflict with Grievous and the Separatists. He tries to resurrect his mom, but that doesn't really work out. And then I think that's when he gets roped into the Shadow Collective. I don't know, man. There's a lot. The Star Wars Expanded Universe is getting more and more complicated, like the old one.
Yeah, you're right. It was the, and I said it was the Black Sun. It was the Crimson Dawn.
Okay.
Was the criminal organization
he joins three different ones. He joins the Shadow Collective, he joins Black Sun, and he joins Crimson Dawn. So it's really like he's just like hopping around the criminal underworld, like trying to be a top guy when he is kind of like a, I don't know, like a Pauly, I guess you could say. Maul is the Pauly of the Star Wars criminal underworld.
I don't think that many people liked Pauly though.
Yeah.
Maul's sort of a fan favorite though.
Yeah. I don't think he's well liked in universe.
No, in universe he's definitely definitely not.
But yeah, I don't know. We're getting a little off base.
I shouldn't say I don't know anything, but I don't know much about the cartoon. I've seen very, very little. Yeah. And the only stuff I know is because I played the mobile game for a long time before I finally quit that.
Yeah. Most of this is in comics. I'm pretty sure all of Maul's history is Phantom Menace, Clone Wars TV show, then the Son of Dathomir comic, and then there's like a huge gap, and then it's Solo, and then there's another gap, and then he's old, disgraced, and like on the, what the hell is the name of the Sith planet? Korriban? Moriband?
Yeah.
One of the two?
I think it's Korriban.
Yeah, he's hanging out on some old, you know, Jedi temple there, and he tries to trick Ezra into becoming his apprentice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that eventually brings him full circle back to Tatooine, where Obi-Wan cuts him down in like 2 seconds.
Yep.
He's, yeah.
One hit KO.
That's it, pretty much. Takes one good swing. Mm-hmm. Fuck. Perfect. A great fight. Like, they built that up, but it's like, yeah, of course.
How did we get to this conversation?
Do rabbit holes, dude. Star Wars.
Yeah, Star Wars rabbit hole, but we were talking about...
It's like light speed. When you hit a rabbit hole, you're like, fuck.
I'll bring us back.
Mandalorians knowing what Jedis were.
It's that, and it's also, there's a Vizsla who still exists.
Yes. Yep.
And they were the last ruling family before Maul took over, but then by the time of Rebels, it's Bo-Katan Kryze is given the dark saber by Sabine Wren, who is someone I hope will show up in this show.
Ooh, yeah, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, her and Ahsoka. And then maybe that's how, he dumps, like, Baby Yoda on Ahsoka. And it's like, oh, you're a Force user? Like, here, take this baby.
Unless Ahsoka's not alive at this point in time. Because they haven't told that whole story, right?
What?
So Ahsoka could be dead in the extended universe.
So I did find this.
She's alive.
I did write this shit down, so I know I'm not wrong.
She's alive as of now, but she might not be.
So
later.
So okay. In the flashback scene, you were talking about it a minute ago, you see the B2 battle droid And you know, the parents save him. So obviously the purge that they're talking about, the Great Purge is how they said it, is different than the Jedi Purge, right?
Right.
So it probably happens during the Clone Wars. All right. So just from that, with the battle droid and everything, we're just, you know, I would assume since they were still using battle droids in it, it happened during the Clone Wars. So Order 66, you'll like this, Casey. So so Order 66 occurred at the same time as the Siege of Mandalore, when Ahsoka led the Republic troops to free Mandalore from Maul and Death Watch. Okay? That happened at the same time Order 66 was given.
No. Yeah. No?
That's what Variety said.
I don't think that's right.
Because they're saying that...
Wait a minute. You're looking at something that isn't Wikipedia, and you're taking it as as fact?
No. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Anything because that they're saying that the next year we're going to get the final season of the Clone Wars, and they're already said that they're going to be talking about the events of Order 66 in conjunction with the freeing of Mandalore.
But the
entirety, will be major plot points.
The entirety of Clone Wars takes place before Revenge of the Sith, because Anakin's a good guy. I mean, it can't
not,
be more...
Not during Order 66, he's a bad guy.
Right, yes, but everything that takes place in that show as it exists right now is just between episodes 2 and 3.
Yeah, okay. Rebels happened.
Could it have been Rebels?
Yeah, Rebels.
Yeah, but I mean, the Purge, like, I guess it's... What do you consider the Purge? Do you just consider it Order 66? Like, is that just an ongoing thing that lasts, like, from 19 BBY to whatever?
Yeah.
Like, as long as there's Jedi that are
as still long as there's Jedi. I mean, dude, Charles Soule did a fucking whole comic series on it with Vader hunting them down.
Yeah. All right. Well, then, yeah.
So, I mean, 66 is always in play, I guess, as long as the Empire's in charge. You know?
Yeah. I think it's a little weird for the Clone Wars TV show to take place, you know, in that same Rebels timeline, then, you know, just at any period after Revenge of the Sith, but
yeah, so it would be a Clone Wars. It'd be a Clone Wars episode, if anything.
Right, but
yeah,
but the Clone Wars are over after Revenge of the Sith.
Right.
Right. So that's the weird thing, is that you have a show called Clone Wars that is no longer about the Clone Wars, because it's talking about events that happen after the Clone Wars are over.
That's true.
But it's not yet the Rebellion. They should just call it like Star Wars : The Purge. If that's what it's going to be about. I don't know.
You call it Star Wars Clone Wars, the later years.
Star Wars : The Clone Wars : The later years.
Yeah, there you go.
Bad Coyote Funky says, "Wait, what are we even talking about now?"
I don't even know.
It's getting real crazy. You could just call it Dark Times, like in Legends. Okay. That's what it was called, the Dark Times, the Rise of the
Empire. Thought it was funny because Dennis mentioned Ahsoka, and I was like, "Oh, well, she is actually still alive at this point because of this," but apparently now. She's not. She's dead. Fuck it. She's dead. None of this shit's canon, so fuck it. Yeah.
No, that stuff would be canon, right?
It is canon. No, I'm kidding, Dennis. It's canon. It's trust me.
You can't joke about this stuff.
No, very rabbit holes, guys. No more fucking rabbit holes. No more canon.
They change the rules all the time.
All right. So I had to ask, because we're going to just fucking... I was trying to go down the timeline of the show, but that's not going to fucking work. That shit is gone. Sorry, guys. It'll never fucking happen again. I tried it. It just doesn't work here. So when the doctor is scanning the baby and extracting something, what do you all think that is?
Midichlorians.
It's got to be, right?
So that's why I thought it isn't a clone when he first scans it. Because I was thinking, like, oh, okay, maybe they'll make some reference to, like, when Mando first brings the baby in, he does the scan, he's like, oh, perfectly healthy, or whatever. For whatever reason, the way that went down, I was thinking, I don't think this is originally a clone. I think this is a first edition Baby Yoda or yodel, as some as the internet is calling it.
A hot and fresh yodel.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I would say probably. Do you think they're going to go with the midichlorians since it has such a bad rap with the old stuff? That they've sort of not wanted to touch anything.
They may not say it. They may just call it like Jedi DNA.
Jedi juice. Sucked out his Jedi
juice. He is 50. I mean, I don't know. He might be able to.
It's technically legal.
I don't know.
You just see, like, it goes to the next episode. You have Werner Herzog just go like, oh, the baby possesses no more threat to us. We have his mojo. Okay. I buy it. Sure.
But yeah, so, I was thinking, Casey,
did you read the novels that came? Was it the Aftermath novels?
I read the first Aftermath novel and I didn't like it, so I stopped reading them.
So apparently in that, and I didn't read them, so correct me if I'm wrong.
You're not missing much.
Palpatine put his consciousness into a droid, or was it another?
Yeah, well, that's also in the Battlefront story.
Okay, is that what it was?
Yeah, it's called The Contingency.
Yeah.
And basically the idea is he just doesn't feel like the Empire should exist without him.
Right.
So it's very much like a slash and burn, like listen, you need to destroy the total Empire from within and start something new. But if I'm not a part of it, like, I don't really give a shit. But like don't, like, sully the legacy of my 20-year-old empire.
Well, I mean, but did the clone or the droid or whatever? The droid obviously didn't, but did the clone was it force sensitive?
No.
So like when his consciousness,
it's just a droid.
What?
It's just his consciousness. It's not even his consciousness. He put a message in a robot.
So it's like an AI, like his.
Yeah. And then he told this dude Gallius Rax, like, just trim the fat.
Oh yeah. And
start over past the hyperspace barrier at the edge of the galaxy where Thrawn and everybody else is hanging out probably.
Huh.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're going to go the midichlorian route or not. I mean, might be a hard sell for some people. I don't know. But he was obviously extracting something. So.
I think it was just genetic material to make a clone.
Yeah.
Could have been. Yeah.
That's why they didn't care if he was dead or alive. Yeah. DNA is still DNA.
But the cloner was like, I think the DNA will be better if he's alive because there would be less degradation.
Yeah.
We see. So that's what made me feel like they are going to go a midichlorian route, because if he's dead and he's part of the force, do the midichlorians, are they still alive? Are they able to be extracted if he's dead? You see what I'm saying?
I would use your argument against you to say that if that were the case, then they would absolutely under no circumstances want him brought back dead.
Yeah.
Well, no, not necessarily.
Because your argument is midichlorians are
this guy's going to be another Yoda, and how detrimental Yoda was to the Empire, they're going to be like, no, kill that motherfucker.
They can make him an evil Yoda. They can be like, look, the Empire was super great. And, show them propaganda of like, look.
But the mission is you got to get rid of the dude first. Like, if you can, yeah, great. We'll extract some shit, make an evil Yoda. But if you can't, you kill that motherfucker. Because we can't have that dude coming back and wrecking our shit again. You see what I'm saying?
I think that whole species is just force sensitive. And nobody knows anything about them. But they know enough to know that they're all force sensitive. So it's like a rare white elk sighting if you see one of these guys. So somebody heard there's a baby Yoda running around. They're like, we got to go get it.
Right. Yeah. No, I'm not disagreeing with that. Okay. But if we're talking about them extracting midichlorians, then I would think he needs to be alive.
So are you guys then leaning more on the side of this isn't a clone? This is a new thing that they want to clone? Or do you think it is a clone?
I hope it's not a clone.
I don't think it matters. At the end of the day,
I'm gonna kind of shake my head a little bit if it's a clone. I'm gonna be like,
I'd like it better if it wasn't. Because if they go with the clone route, then why wouldn't they've just been cloning Palpatine a million times by now?
Or they probably have.
We might be getting that.
Yeah,
we might be getting that.
We'll find out in 3 weeks, right?
Right.
So close.
Palpatines.
I think You know what? So they have Purge Troopers in canon now, which are like apparently the last batch of old Jango Fett clones that are have been given specialized training to fight Jedi by the, you know, the Inquisitors and whatnot. But back in Legends, they used to have these guys called Dark Troopers.
I remember.
Which they're kind of like the genome soldiers in Metal Gear, where they're like stormtroopers who are injected with Jedi DNA.
Mm-hmm.
And they have like basic force ability, like nothing special, but like, yeah, you know, they're force sensitive stormtroopers. And I'm like, maybe that's what they're going for, you know? But I don't know. It's hard to say, man. You know, they were just wheeling them and giving them a little scan. Like all that, that's all they needed.
Rhino said, did you guys forget how jaded the Mandos are? The had to be an alternative motive, and Baby Yoda is the chosen one. Also, yeah, we may be able to get to see Darksaber bases.
But who other than the Jedi know about the prophecy? I don't think everyday Mandalorians or like even the Empire would be aware of the Chosen One prophecy other than Palpatine himself. And he's already like fucking Chosen One prophecy. I got that little bitch on a leash. Like I did that already.
Yeah.
I grabbed his cooked ass out of a volcano and put him in a suit of shitty armor. That fool is indebted to me for life. He'll never throw me down an elevator shaft. That's what Palpatine thinks of the Chosen One fucking prophecy. Yeah. He's like, fuck this. I'm taking it.
I thought this was super cool. I mean, you all may have another movie, because I think they've done this in several movies, but this is a movie that made me think of when Mando finally is rescuing Yoda or Baby Yoda from the client. He's like shooting, you know, stormtroopers and holding the baby at the same time. I don't know if you've ever seen this movie, but it's classic. John Woo's Hardboiled. There's a big scene and where it's like, fuck man, I feel like it's like 7-8 minutes long where he's saving this kid. He's saving this baby and just sliding over desk and shooting people and reloading his gun on the baby. And I mean, it was just fucking awesome. I mean, this movie was back in the 80s, man. It was so fucking good. But like, it reminded me of that, you know. And I know Favreau's a big John Woo fan, so I was kind of like, oh, he had a little Hard-Boiled moment there. I thought that was pretty cool. Yeah. Good scene, man. That was just fucking good. One of the many good scenes in this.
Oh yeah, no, there were some really awesome stealth kills, but also not so stealthy kills. Yeah. But like that, probably my favorite one was when he sort of peers around the corner and uses his grappling hook on a guy and pulls him right into the vibro knife.
Right into the knife.
Yeah.
And they had vibro knives, although it seemed like sometimes it didn't vibrate and other times it did. But whatever.
Look, man, it doesn't always have to be vibrating. I mean, it's those guys are wearing cheap plastic.
That's true.
I love how he uses, like, he's always using, like, different weapons. Like, the flamethrower, man.
He's like Batman.
So fucking cool, gadgets. And did you catch it when, we're kind of jumping to it, but, you know, at the end, when his buddies show up, you know, it's like, hey, we don't like each other, but we ain't gonna let nobody fuck with you either.
Travis.
The jetpacks.
Travis.
He's like.
Travis.
Yeah.
This is the way.
This is the way.
This is the way.
But he says, man, I got to get me one of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, how do you not have one? All the Mandalorians have jetpacks.
Dude, Vizsla comes from he's like the upper class white dude. Yeah. He's like the Silver Spoon Mandalorian in this show.
Although, based on that fight with the Mandalorians, I would see the jetpack more as a liability than anything else, because it just float there in one spot. It's just that they got the bounty hunters got a case of stormtrooper and couldn't hit the broadside of a barn. Otherwise, they're just floating there.
They like, caught stormtrooper disease that day.
It's pretty fucking cool when they come up over the wall, though.
Oh, it was super awesome.
Yeah.
They all have different weapons too. Like the one's got a Gatling gun, one's got missile launcher, one's got, you know,
that
pistols.
That was the heavy trooper with the Gatling gun.
Yeah.
That was Vizsla, right?
Casey. Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got all the best shit.
Yeah, that was
like
fucking...
he's the Mandalorian equivalent of rolling up. It's like, yeah, my dad bought me this car. Like, all right, buddy. Okay.
My dad owns a dealership.
There's some other great action beats. I think the whistling birds was a pretty sweet little gadget.
Yes, we forgot about talking about that. Yeah,
little homing darts that just fly out of his wrist. And
you know, and I knew we were going to have to wait till the finale to see that. And then you see it like 5 minutes later.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah.
That's how setup works.
They set it up and it pays off immediately. It's like
it pays off immediately,
instant
man.
Instant gratification. That's my generation, baby.
Yes. Dude, that's exactly what we need in a Star Wars show. Yeah. I love that. I thought that was fucking incredible.
Well, that part literally goes from one cool action set piece to the next cool action set piece. Cause you got the stealth kill portion and then immediately to the Western shootout where he's like in a little barge and just taking
people. It was a covered wagon, man. The droid's land speeder was the fucking covered wagon.
Yeah.
I loved it. Like, old Western. Oh, I'm going to get the old Western surrounded covered wagon.
He walks through the middle of town like there might as well have been like a tumbleweed.
Whoa, a tumbleweed. Whoa. That's, dude, we needed a tumbleweed. Yeah. Dude, that was great. I mean, like I said, I've been loving this. I love the lone wolf and cub aspect of it. And I mean,
he just looks at that baby with such tenderness. He's like, I love you.
Dude, when he
looks at that face and not love it.
When he takes the ball back off of the throttle shift or whatever it is and he hands it to him, I'm like, fuck yeah. Like, why did that get me so excited? I shouldn't be excited about that. That's gay. But I'm like, oh my God, that's awesome, man. I love it, dude. Yeah. Love it. So we found out a little bit more about his past. We find out what kind of dude he is. We find out that, like, he's got a code. He's got a code. His bros have a code. This is the way. And, you know, at the end, they all come back.
They all stand, Baby Yoda.
Yeah, no shit.
Yeah.
Yeah,
do you even think the other Mandalorians know about Baby Yoda? Because he never tells them.
I think, because someone asked
never
me,
leave.
I think that's why they helped him. That's why they helped him.
I'm just trying to figure out how they would find out about it, because they can't leave. So how would they get word about it?
Maybe he told them he was going to, you know.
They knew he had Empire. They knew he had Empire by Scar, so they knew he was doing a job for the Empire.
They knew about that.
Yeah. I mean, but... I mean, granted, they're not in closets. I mean, they still get to come out. You know what I mean?
They do.
They do. They come out one at a time. They said that.
He's the one at a time, I thought.
He's been off planet.
okay.
So, I think that's why they helped him was he was rescuing the baby. Like, we know how they covet the foundlings, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's a big deal to them. So, and like, they're all orphans for the most part, probably. So now there's an orphan that's going to be given to the Empire by one of our own. Fuck that dude.
What if we got Baby Yoda?
And now
I was just going to say, what if they made him a tiny little suit of armor?
Baby Yoda Mandalorian Jedi.
Yeah.
That'd be the greatest thing ever.
It would be. So I wonder if he gets a signet by the end of the show. How awesome would that be if they paint a mud horn on his little cradle?
Yeah.
I thought it was gonna be like his signet is just Baby Yoda.
Yeah.
And it's the same face that's like on the t-shirts and everything now. It's authentic merchandise. He's wearing it in the show.
Yeah.
I'm going over the chat. Yeah, and I wanted to. This was so John Wick to me, man. Especially John Wick 2.
Yeah.
When he rescues the baby, he's walking out, and then like all the bounty hunters' little fobs go off. Their little trackers.
He walks past the alleyway. You see the guy walk right by him immediately.
Yes. Yeah, and I was like, holy shit! This is John Wick. This is the end of John Wick 2 for sure.
Yeah,
but you knew, you know, it was a great setup because you knew the shit was about to hit the fucking fan. Mm-hmm. I'm whole time I'm pausing it, seeing how much time's left in the episode. I'm like,
only 36 minutes, but dude, it feels like 30 when you factor in all the credits.
Yeah. So I guess that this is just going to be a short show for some reason. I don't know why this isn't an hour long show.
Money.
It's Disney. They print their own money.
But I mean, they still got little bean counters that sit in a little room and they go, hey man, you know, we can make this 20 hours or 12 and it'll still be great. And we'll make 10 times more money when it's 12 hours as opposed to 20. And they're like, yeah, sounds good. Do that.
Because, yeah,
They don't care, man. Disney don't care.
No.
Favreau cares.
Yeah, he does.
You know what I mean? Disney don't give a fuck. They want the money. They, you know.
Yeah.
Trust me, they gave us Last Jedi. So.
Yeah.
And Last Jedi made the most money out of any Star Wars.
I know. Ain't that fucking nuts? Did it make more than Force Awakens?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Huh.
Every movie that comes out now just beats the previous record.
Yeah.
That's just how it is.
Are we putting anything for inflation? I mean, like, because back when Force Awakens, I mean, I used to get tickets for under $10 all the time.
Yeah, there's not going to be a ton of inflation in 2 years.
It's not. Well, I mean, Force Awakens, I mean, I used to get tickets all the time for under $10. I can't hardly get a ticket now unless I'm going to a matinee or something for less than $10.
My ticket prices have been the same for 10 years. So
really? Well, you live in like some kind of backwater Tatooine.
I live in a historic.
Exactly. And that's where there's no inflation because y'all still have the same price scale for everything from the independence.
We have an old timey projector still because that's what we used in the Civil War.
Yeah.
To show moving pictures. Yeah.
I know. I'm definitely wrong about Last Jedi. No, Force Awakens did.
So I was right.
It may have been
Force Awakens five times, but I saw Last Jedi twice because I had to watch it the second time to make sure it was as shitty as I thought I saw it the first time. And I was like, nope, this is just as bad as I remember. Okay, goodbye.
Yeah.
So what do you all want to see next?
I think you're going to get your wish for, what's her name?
Gina.
Sexy chick?
Yeah, Gina. Your big tough lady.
She better come in at chapter four. I'll be fucking livid.
Because
I ain't gonna watch the show no more.
He now needs allies to like help protect him because he can't like stave off that many people.
Right.
So I think he's gonna try and get himself a group.
She was in an interview and she was actually pretty forthcoming. Like she said, when they meet each other, they don't like each other at first, but then she sees what he's trying to do and she ends up aiding him. So she is going to be, you know, one of his allies, but I'm hoping that when they first meet each other, they're going to be like, he's going to think that she's out, you know, to get him and they're going to fight without having to talk first. And, you know, it's going to be pretty cool.
Cause didn't she used to be a stormtrooper?
She's a shock trooper. She's an ex-shock trooper.
Yeah. There are no girl stormtroopers. What is this? There's no women in this show. Haven't you been on the internet lately?
Dude, people are pissed. And I know, you know, I get on there and I'm like, yeah, where's Gina Carano at, you know?
Wouldn't that be really funny if that's the only girl in the entire show?
Might be.
Every city they go to, there's just one chick and it's Gina Carano.
Yeah.
Hey, we got one. It's fine.
She's Nurse Joy.
Yeah.
But for bounty hunters.
Sure.
Yeah.
It's funny because, I mean, like we talked about, this is a fantastic show. Great action. The story's been fucking fantastic. And that's what people are going to bitch about. Like, they're bitching about that. You know what I mean? It's like, yeah man, you know what? If I'm Disney, I'm going,
meh.
We'll take that.
They're still going to buy it.
Come on.
They can complain about it. They're going to keep buying it.
Shit.
Yeah. Trolls spend money just like everyone else.
We're killing it right now. So, yeah, we're going to get Gina. But where does this end? Like, what is our what's the end game here?
I want the other bounty hunters to steal Baby Yoda from him. So it's like a constant game of hot potato. But everybody wants the potato, which is a tiny green Muppet man.
I'm thinking that now Mando's going to try and figure out what to do with Baby Yoda. Because otherwise he's going to be constantly on the run. So he's going to try to find a safe place for Baby Yoda. But it's got to be legit safe. How do they track them, by the way? Does he have an implant? Like, how does that little thing work?
No, I wondered about that.
Because if I was
Don't
Mando,
think too much about it.
I would just take it out of them. Yeah. If he had a tracker, and be like, oh, I guess you can't track him anymore. I don't know.
That's a good point. I assume they tracked Baby Yoda because they had DNA. But
he must have been in an imperial property before enough where they would want him, right? And then,
and maybe when you get into the guild, you have to subject yourself to a tracker or a DNA scan or some shit to be in the guild, you know, kind of like your union card. Like, oh, come here, we're a brand.
Well, that wouldn't work with a droid, though.
Huh?
Droids don't have DNA.
No, but you could put GPS trackers in droids.
You could, but would the droid let you do it? I mean, they could just take it back out.
Hey, yeah, you really want to be the guy to stick this, something in IG-11?
Dennis. Yeah. You could program a droid to fucking do anything, so...
I don't know. Droids are pretty sentient in that universe. They might not be cool with it.
I ain't fucking with an assassin droid. Yeah. That guy's terrifying.
They can see in every direction.
They're 7 feet tall. They see you when you're sleeping. They know when you're awake. They're like a child with a gun. It's hard. It's terrible.
Jason says, he says, good point, Casey. In the flashback, he was found by whatever killed his parents.
No, we never know. See
you all think that
it always cuts off when the battle droid
is
shooting at him.
I think a group of Mandalorians captured him or saved
found him.
I think that's
that seems more likely.
Yeah, that's how he becomes a foundling, is the Mandalorians basically saving from the B2. That's what I would think. We've yet to see that. And I think they've been really good about giving this that little bit. Every episode, you know, you get a couple minutes scene of a flashback, and then you get a little more of a scene. So we kind of keep, like we're doing right now, it kind of keeps us guessing.
Yeah, because they don't have enough time to move the story forward and tell a whole lot of backstory. So it's just like, okay, we're going to give a little bit of this, a little bit of this, and then a whole lot of this.
I think we got our answer, though, if we were going to see Pedro Pascal take his helmet off, though.
Nope.
Don't think we are.
Yeah. What were we talking about? Does he shower with that thing on? Apparently. He never takes it off.
Dude. Yeah, that's fucking...
They talk about it. They're like, did you take it off? No. Did anybody take it off you? No.
Yeah.
So, I don't know if that's a relatively, like, new thing, because Sabine is pretty fast and loose with taking off her helmet. You know, and she is, you know, unquestionably a Mandalorian. Maybe not one in good standing for most of the time in which we see her, but I feel like she would still abide by, you know, their regulations.
Maybe that's a new thing in the sense that because they're so, like, hunted and whatnot, that they just don't ever take it off. So now it's like a point of pride and whatnot.
But so does it, like, because I was thinking about this. So with Mando having the fucking dope-ass Beskar-out suit now.
Yeah.
He's gonna look.
He's still got one bad shin.
He's gonna look vastly different than the rest of the group.
Regular.
So when it's his turn to fucking be in the hole, and the other dude comes out, they're gonna be like,
"Thigh."
Where's the other dude with the dope ass armor at? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So does he have to share it?
I don't think so.
I wouldn't think so. No.
They were ready to brand it, you know, so that was pretty much going to be his.
Yeah, that was going to be his. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean, as far as, like, them trying to stay, you know, on the DL, you know, with him getting that fucking fancy fresh armor, that's, you know, you're going to stick out, man. You're going to be a turn to punch bowl walking around. I don't know how big that place is, but, yeah. So, I think it's that the show is – that's another great thing it's done. It's kind of like John Wick this again, where it's given us a world, even Star Wars fans still don't know quite a lot about Mandalore, their history, their religion. You know what I mean? It's all still kind of fringe and niche. You know what I mean? But it's kind of like
Wick. Subject to change at any time. They could just throw you a new curveball.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's cool. I mean, that's, dude, it's what we've been wanting. It's what I've been wanting from this universe anyways. New stories, new people, shit to, you know, get me excited every week that it comes on, you know? So it's the Mandalorian symbol itself. That's a bantha, right?
Krayt dragon.
That's Krayt dragon.
Krayt dragon. Mm-hmm. That's all Mandalore's symbol.
A bantha is not a very cool animal.
Oh, I think it would be. Yeah.
It was the symbol, like, because the planet that they settled on was filled with Krayt dragons, so they basically had to fight with them in order to survive. So that's why that's the what you call it, sigil for the in general. That's like the general sigil.
Yeah, that's the one that Boba uses, right? Didn't Jango use it?
Vizsla has it on his armor too.
Yeah.
At least he does in the credits artwork. I didn't really look too closely at his personal armor.
You know, I was reading about shit. I myself, as I was reading, went down a rabbit hole and come to find out, like, Jango was pretty much a piece of shit.
Yeah,
when it came to the Mandalorians.
We covered this last week.
Did we?
I think. Yeah, we said he was a big old fraud.
Oh yeah, fraud. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't realize that. Like, yeah, he that's the reason he takes his helmet off and shelter. I'm like, he adhered to no code of the Mandalorian. He was just all about the dollar.
Dude, he's a Klingon with no honor. Oh, like the Mandos are just, they're like Klingons or you know, the Mass Effect guys, the Krogans. You know, they're like a warlike culture. Like, I would half expect these guys to headbutt each other for dominance at this point. You know?
That'd be awesome.
Yeah, they, you know, they live by a strict code. They live to fight, you know, and they're overall pretty mean and kind of scary. And, you know.
Yeah.
I would love to have a Mandalorian played by Michael Dorn. I'm just saying.
Ooh,
he's great. I just, you know, I think you just do it as a voice, you know. John Favreau gets a voice cameo. Fucking Michael Dorn, do it. I love it.
Yeah, that's hey, do you think that any of this is going to be relevant to the new Star Wars movie? Do you think we're going to see anything?
I thought I read something about that it was supposed to somehow tie into the new movies, though.
I mean, by the end of the show, timing and everything, it would kind of make sense. I don't know what it is, because I've heard people, you know, I think wishful thinking, people want Baby Yoda like in the new movie because it's so goddamn popular. Now, I don't know where that would even come in at, but
it's too
he'd only be like 20 years older, right? Like, this is maybe like 20 years before the new movies would be my guess.
20 or 25, something like that. Yeah.
He might be wiping his own ass by now.
He's the equivalent of a two-year-old.
I thought we made a joke about him being like Teen Yoda, where he's, you know, he's got like a
mohawk. Yeah, we did.
We did make that joke, but it, like the amount of time it takes him to age, it's just not enough time for Teen Yoda.
Yeah, I don't think it is. Yeah, I don't know. I'm curious.
Keep it its own thing, because if Episode 9 ends up sucking too, will you really want it to have been built up to that the whole time?
It's a good point.
You know, this is a very comic book centric kind of thing, but Travis would know when Final Crisis was coming out. Remember how shitty Countdown was?
Oh my God, it was awful.
And it had nothing to do with anything.
Nothing.
Like, would you really want, you know, would you want that in as part of the build up to something? Like,
yeah, I don't think I don't think we'll see any of the characters, but like maybe what they're trying to do with Baby Yoda, like if it is extracting midichlorians or if he is a clone, we might see something like that in the new movie with Palpatine, because we know Palpatine's in the new movie. And we're pretty sure he blew up in the fucking Death Star. So,
yeah,
got to be a clone, a droid, you know, mega Palpatine. I don't know what the fuck they're going to do.
Well, he's five Palpatine clones that form one giant Palpatine.
Exactly. Yeah, mega Palpatine. Yeah. So
our Palpatines combined.
Maybe a theme. Maybe
Captain Palpatine.
Captain Palpatine.
Maybe a central, not a central theme, but like an element of this series is going to make its way in. And then, like, for the people who watch this, you know, we're going to be like, oh, shit. And then the people that don't watch it, they're going to be like,
what's that?
I wonder what that was about. You know what I mean? It's not going to be so big that they can't get the fucking story.
Listen,
that would suck.
You know, maybe I don't know if this is the right place to talk about this, but did you guys see that latest like little clip for Episode 9 with the jetpack stormtroopers and the speeder bikes on treads?
I did not.
Oh, where they like do like little endos and flip the stormtroopers?
Yeah, he flips them and then they're like, they fly now?
Yeah.
Yeah, which is fine, except like all of them, like, are you seriously telling me that Finn wouldn't know that stormtroopers have jetpacks? Like, what? You know? Oh,
no, yes, that's true, because Finn is the worst fucking character in the Star Wars universe.
He was a janitor. Right. He was in janitorial services.
But he was in a combat zone before that, you know? You don't just send janitors out to
he was in
Octo
Kylo's
or
combat.
Whatever.
I mean, that's like the lowest of the low end.
Dude.
I guess. I don't know.
All I know is
Poe has seen them in his comic. They got the rocket First Order guys in there. And
that's true. You know, they do.
But Star Wars fans on the internet are the fucking worst. They're like, why are there treads on bikes? You have hover technology for desert planets. You know, and I'm like, that's a fair point, but also it kind of looks cool.
Yeah.
I don't
Star Wars fans are weird. I got into a fight with somebody who Travis Jones loves a lot because he literally said his dick got so hard when he saw the new red colored armor. And I said, it's red. There's literally nothing different about it. It's just red.
It's like, you remember the Emperor's guards that were red? Yeah. Whoa.
Except this is the white stormtrooper armor that they just dyed red. There's no difference.
No difference. Yeah.
And you know, that was like the biggest deal. So
he's got the action figure. The
Star Wars
variant.
Fans are weird.
When
the ones that are hardcore, they're like
when we talked about that, Dennis, I googled it just to be like, let me make sure I'm not just being overcritical. And I'm like, and someone had already did it for me. Imagine that on the internet. White stormtrooper, red stormtrooper, no goddamn difference.
Yep.
And I'm like, fuck, what is everybody tripping about, man?
I mean, I was excited when they had the all black death troopers in Rogue One, so
because they look cool.
Yeah, they had
some of the red ones, but it's the same shit.
Well, the armor was slightly different though for the black death troopers.
Yeah, the black
had different helmets. Didn't they? Yeah, they were at least slightly different. All right. Mean. The red ones are just the same.
See, I told you.
They're the player two of Stormtroopers.
Casey is a closet Last Jedi fan.
I'm not. Closet Klotz.
I'm not. I am no closet Klotz. Don't you fucking don't.
Oh, shit.
It's fighting words.
We won't go there.
They're no longer affiliated with me.
Jason says, I hope Travis is not up for drug testing anytime soon. I'm not, hopefully. Tomorrow's Thanksgiving. I do work tomorrow, but I doubt they'll drug test me because he's acting like Kevin Feige is being in charge instead of Kathleen Kennedy. I am not acting like that. I know exactly who the fuck is in charge. That's why this fucking universe has went to shit. It's because of Kathleen fucking Kennedy.
She killed the expanded universe and is wondering why there's nothing to pull from.
There's still a lot to pull from because they're still making comics and shit.
Of course, there's all kinds of shit to pull from.
And they said KOTOR is still canon, right? Didn't they say that's still cool because they were making a KOTOR movie?
No.
I don't know.
Okay.
Anything still exists, prior to Disney buying them is not canon.
Okay. I heard that the exception of that was the KOTOR stuff.
But everything that I've read, there is no exception. Okay. Now, the Marvel comics hadn't started yet. But other than that, everything post that. But didn't Clone Wars started before the buy, right?
Yeah, but it didn't finish before they cut it off. So half of Clone Wars is like in Legends, but it's identical and also still canon in canon.
See, so it's stupid.
It's weird, man.
It is, man.
Maybe we just stumbled upon the tie-in between the show and the movies. Maybe somehow Mando accidentally hits a can of red paint into the
and they're like, this looks cool.
Armor thing, and they're like, oh, it's red now. Well, if we don't have the money to be making all new, so we're just going to use it. That'll be your tie-in between everything.
Yeah, Rhino says Revan and Bane have both been referenced in the new books and the comics, and they've been referenced in the cartoon too. Bane was actually
but you don't know if their whole history is still intact.
Exactly.
Well, it's like Plagueis, real complicated.
It's like Plagueis was mentioned by Palpatine in the prequels, which all that's canon still, but the book Darth Plagueis is not canon.
Weird.
So, yeah. So canon's tricky, man. Like they made it even more complicated by discard. You know, getting rid of what, Casey? How many years? 15 years of extended universe.
Well, when did what was the original Alan Dean Foster novel? Jesus.
Fuck.
God, that came out in like 1978. That was like
I was
right.
It had
after.
To be late 70s, yeah.
Yeah, so 40 years. As long as Star Wars has existed, there's always been an expanded universe.
Right. Yeah, I don't get it. They
Splinter of the Mind's Eye. It took me a second.
Yep, that's it.
What it is. 1978.
That was to be the sequel to New Hope, right?
Yeah, that's the original. I think it was based on the original screenplay to be adapted as a sequel, and then they.
But they couldn't use Han Solo. They couldn't use Chewbacca. They couldn't use. There's a lot of the main characters that they couldn't use in that novel.
If you and the audience are listening and you don't know what we're talking about, this story is actually pretty metal. It's Luke and Leia go to find this like super force crystal, and they just encounter Darth. Like they're being hunted by Darth Vader the whole time. It's great. It's really cool. And it's apparently the first, at the time, canon lightsaber fight between Luke and Vader, and Obi-Wan like goes into Luke's body and fights Vader like as Luke. It's pretty sweet. Yeah, Vader also throws force lightning in that, even though it makes no sense because he definitely blew himself up. he totally fuck up his own ship, but hey, he does it. So,
Casey, have you been reading the Vader comic, where he's being hunted by the bounty hunter?
Yep.
And his plan is he's going to use a controlled EMP.
Yeah.
Why hasn't anybody done that in a Star Wars universe before?
How many people do you think have really considered trying to kill Darth Vader, though?
That's true.
Probably more than there should be.
I think he's like, honestly, I think in-universe he's kind of like Batman, where like most people think he's like an urban myth. But then when you find out he's really real, you're probably already like gotten the shit beaten out of you or you're dead. You know? Like Imperials would know who he is, but do you really think that like the average Joe on the street, like in the Outer Rim, is aware of his existence?
No.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, probably not.
Probably not.
Yeah.
That or he's just a boogeyman.
That's what I'm thinking. So if anybody is anybody, the very small pool of people who are aware of Vader's existence, from that, there's an even tinier, minuscule group of people that have like, hey, what if I killed that magic space robot wizard? Like, what if I took a shot at him, huh? That really make my rep. It's like, yeah, all right, cool. Yeah, you know, that magic robot space wizard like killed all the other magic space wizards after he became a robot. So maybe rethink your life.
They have had like EMP-esque shots. Aren't they called ion, like ion blasts? Because like some of the like the Y-wings shoot ions, I think.
Yeah.
They're like little blue, and they like put a little electrical discharge around things. So you'd think they already have guns. They could just be like, I'm just going to shoot them with this. But my guess would be it's probably not quite that easy to just hit Vader with an EMP. They'll just force it out of the way or restart his system. He probably has a crank chain somewhere.
Valance in the comic had him, and his fucking his crew let him down.
Yeah, they sure
Valance, did. Valance had him. Had him dead to rights.
At least in Legends, and I mean in – now, I don't even need to go to Legends. In Charles Soule's book, we see the limits of, like, Vader, one leg, armor ripped to shit, helmet cracked. Like, he can use the Force to keep his crippled ass alive.
Yes.
To make sure that you're dead before he falls down.
That's a lot of Sith.
Yeah. But most of those Sith have all of their arms and legs.
Well, I guess it's not canon anymore, but if you go back to the KOTOR ones, there's one that literally the guy refuses to die, and he's like a zombie because his body's like rotting away.
Oh, what is his name? I forget. It starts with an H, I think. Darth Haiti. That sounds right. It's the big ball of hate.
Don't remember. But yes, I mean, there's quite a few. They say if you're angry enough with the dark side, you can pretty much do almost anything.
Darth Sion. Put himself alive.
The Lord of Pain. Yeah.
What's that?
His name is Darth Sion.
Ah.
Yeah.
But I mean, Maul kept himself alive.
Yeah.
After he got cut in half by the dark side. Jason was saying it was Jason Aaron where they sent the army at him, but you're not talking about when they sent the army after him. You're talking about when he fought the Jedi.
Yeah. What's the name of the guy that he had to fight?
I don't know, but I so want to see that dude in something.
Oh, man.
That dude was badass with the fucking hair, and he had no shirt on. It was dude, like
he's a Jedi that's in exile.
Yeah, self-imposed exile.
He completely missed the purge, just like missed me with that shit.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Oh, and he kicked Vader's ass.
Yeah.
Vader had no shot. Vader cheated, which was what made that story so much better. Because yes, Vader would fucking cheat. Like, he'll fight you straight up, but if he can't win, he'll just fucking cheat. He's Batman.
He's a bad guy. Bad guys don't.
No, he's Batman. Batman cheats.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, he always says, Superman is the reason I always beat Superman. He's a good person. I'm not. I'll cheat.
Yeah.
Love it. But yeah, that was, man, that was one of my favorite story arcs.
That's how he got his, that's how he got his lightsaber.
Yeah.
He had to beat that guy to do it. Imagine if like the Jedi have like a guy that's like part the Hulk and part Bruce Lee. And it's like, hey, Vader, go kill this extremely healthy dude.
Yeah.
And take his shit.
Yeah. For y'all listening or watching, if you have not read that Charles Soule, both of them, both volumes of Charles Soule's Darth Vader, they're fucking amazing. I mean, they're some of the best shit. Like, they're so fucking good. I mean, we won't ever see it in my lifetime, like a Vader series like this, like we're getting with The Mandalorian. Did you hear what Kathleen Kennedy said about that?
What?
They asked about a Vader solo series, like a solo movie, solo series, prequel, whatever. And she's like, no, because almost all of our movies have had Vader in them.
Yeah.
And I get it. That's true. I can't argue with that. I want to, because it's her.
Certainly stop the X-Men.
What is he in? 8 out of 10? No, he's not in Solo.
That's about the only one.
Yeah.
Because all the prequels.
He's not in the new ones.
Yeah.
His helmet's in one of them.
His helmet's in it.
One of them. Not the second one, right? Last Jedi, I don't think he's in that one.
The helmet is.
No, that was the first
one. He smashes his own helmet. He smashes his own helmet. That's right.
Yeah, he wouldn't smash his beloved grandpa helmet.
That's one of the other things that JJ's going to have to retcon in the new one.
Yeah, he's got him fixed. He fixes it up. He glues it back together.
That'd be great. It's just got tape everywhere.
Yeah.
Doesn't really do the whole thing so much, so he just has to sort of slide it. He just has grease all over his neck all the time because he's got to shove his head in there.
If he just
can't see a thing in this helmet.
I wish that Kylo was half Mandalorian, because that way he would never fucking remove his helmet. Because that would be way better than him taking that fucking thing off. I mean, don't get me fucking started. Jesus Christ.
Big old dork.
I was going to say, I don't think Han Solo would have a dork for a kid, but apparently he does.
Yeah, right? How's that kid not like the coolest kid there is? Because
he got raised by Luke, and Luke's been a whiny little baby his whole life.
Dude.
Even when Luke is cool in Return of the Jedi, he's still kind of a whiner. The Emperor is like, friends are dead. And he's just like,
like every time, like the little ball that floats around, you know, he's trying to lightsaber train, it gets him. He's always like, ow, like. Yeah.
Dude, it's a laser. Like, it hurts.
Obi-Wan, why does he keep shooting me in the dick?
Oh,
you need to
grow
a pair of balls if you're to become a Jedi, my son.
You know, they had a chance to fucking ugly Kylo up, and they screw that up even. Like,
what now?
They had a chance to ugly him up with the lightsaber scar on his face. Okay. And then Rian Johnson was like, oh, I moved it. What do you mean you moved it? Oh, it looked better. What do you mean it looked better? No, you're missing the point of a scar.
Now he's got standard, like, bad guy scar right over the one eye, just a little bit.
When he could have had this, like, bleh.
Yeah.
So this dude is, I don't know who this is, Ace Platinum, is guessing our jobs, our ages and our jobs.
Good luck.
Well, he nailed you, Dennis.
Did he?
Yeah, he said the far right is Troy, 26, and he works as a male escort.
Yeah. Yeah, you got me.
Oh, yep.
Shit.
That's honestly, me, 35, comic book store manager, not the end of the world.
Hey.
I mean, it's about 6 years too much for me, but I got graying all over the sides.
If anyone knows how to break into the old male escort game, I am looking for part-time employment for the next couple months.
Awesome.
Lots of rich old ladies around here. You never know.
Oh, yeah.
Speaking of that.
Of rich old ladies and escorts?
We're rabbit-holing into death this? Right now.
We're just having a good time.
So, Dennis, tell everybody where they can find you at.
So you can find me at Botched, a D&D podcast. It's a comedy podcast where we get drunk and play D&D. You can find us on pretty much every podcatcher known to man that I know of, other than one or two of them. You can also find us over at patreon.com/botchedpodcast. I will be streaming right after this is over at twitch.tv/worldsmostokaystdm. We're playing some Observer tonight. So it's basically Blade Runner from what I understand. So
when are you going to cook again?
Tomorrow because morning.
I woke up after that stream, and I had two people instant message me and be like, oh, my God, just watch Dennis cook in the smallest kitchen known to man, and I could not stop laughing.
Yeah, the cooking show's on Thursday, so tomorrow morning I'll be making some pumpkin butter. Phil got on me about my setup, and I'm like, where, Phil? So he comes over and shows me, and he's like, you could set this up here and set up. I was like, you know those have cords, right? Yeah. And you need spaces to do things. I already can't open the fridge door because I have the computer sitting on a foldable, it's a stepladder, and then the soundboard's under that, and then there's a mic on the floor next to the fridge and a mic on the other countertop, and then the camera's on top of the fridge so they can see what I'm doing plus what I'm cooking. Yeah, no, it's a very tiny kitchen.
The chat alone was worth it. Like the chat was fantastic. Casey, where can they find you at, brother?
Twitch.tv/badcoyotefunky. It's got an archive of a lot of our old podcast episodes. We do a Nerd News Roundtable every week, but not this week because it's Thanksgiving. Every Thursday night, starting at around 9 o'clock, you can check us out there.
Very, very cool. And I am the Blazing Defender, guys. This is my channel. I normally do a weekly podcast about comic books and TV shows and movies, this has kind of kept me busy. I was at GalaxyCon last week where I met Donnie Cates, did an interview with Jim Starlin that is on the Twitch channel. The audio is really shitty, though, but I'm fixing that. So when I get that new video, I will upload that, and it'll have the good audio on it. But I am also on iTunes. Check the Facebook page. That's where I promote a lot. When the next show is going to be, Instagram, Twitter, I'm on all those. Blazing Defender Report. But let us know what you think, guys, about The Mandalorian. If you have any questions you want us to answer as far as our rabbit hole discussions go.
I was going to say, be careful where it goes.
Yeah, be careful. Yeah, be careful what you ask.
Yeah, you might tune into a show about The Mandalorian and get a complete history of Darth Maul. So,
yeah, or maybe an incorrect history of Darth Maul. I'm making up my own shit. We don't care. But I want to thank the chat, guys. I got to you as much as I could. It was there for a minute. It was going pretty quick, and I couldn't really see the questions. So, but tune in next week. We might have a special guest on next week with us. I'm going to see, you know, after the holiday shakeout, see what everybody's schedule is. But it may be on next Monday, or this coming Monday, I should say. So be looking for the Mando Monologues podcast on Monday. Follow the Blazing Defender page, and you'll know everywhere that I'm going to be. Hit the follow button, and you'll get a notification every time I go live. Guys, for that, the Scum and Villainy crew, we're out. Peace.